Now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines, and after a century of war, I remember that which matters most.
Unafeared here in Bangor, Maine. Well, I don't know everybody else. I was talking to Chuck out there. He's installing the studio, and he's the furniture part. And he goes, "I just wanted Chef Boyardee. I went to the supermarket. I didn't need toilet paper. I just want to get some Chef Boyardee."
Yeah, our friend Dan that came over, you met last weekend, he took a picture of himself last night. I'll try to get that into the stream. He was standing in front of the Chef Boyardee, the food aisle over at Walmart, and it was just cleaned right out. All the pre-prepared foods are gone.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Judy Mikovits. Those that are regular listeners to the show know she's like an extraordinaire super virologist of know everything DNA, kind of RNA stuff and sickness and vaccine people thing, okay? And I tell you what it was. The reason I wanted you to come on today is we're up in Maine working on, we didn't plan on, you know, having until we got back. One, I don't know if I'd even be able to make it back. The other thing is we just found out that a bunch of supplies we had ordered at Amazon has said, we're not shipping anything but, you know, essential medical supplies now or some crap. And, you know, and we got the contracts done for the Vaccine Education Summit is Manchester, Sunday, June 7th. You going to be available?
Sunday, June 7th. Yeah, I'll put it on my calendar.
Boom, done. Donna didn't do it already. I just want to make sure I got that. All right. So we're setting that all up. It'll be interesting after all this. So go ahead and just tell me, should we be afeared? And what should we be afeared of? And what should we do? I got, you know, chaka whatever mushroom stuff on order, lipo whatever, lipo fat something, ascorbic acid, vitamin D. I got a bunch of other crap. That's the only other new stuff. I got an oxygen generator, oxygen sensor. I got, IVs that I don't know how to do. You know, we'll get somebody that knows how to do that. And then, but if I went to the hospital, what would they do for me that I couldn't do for myself now?
I think going to the hospital is actually absolutely the wrong thing you can do. Really, all you really need is, you know, good, healthy food, sunshine. Don't take pills of vitamin D. You really want sunshine. You want vitamin C, not as intravenous or as high dose capsules. I'm drinking lemon water with my coffee these days, which I do actually absolutely all the time. This is, you know, we're at essentially no risk of anything. The risk and the thing we should be afraid of is what this, you know, corrupt Health and Human Services, CDC, you know, has literally done to cripple a country or even a world, the WHO. It's basically just... I don't even know how to say how wrong all of this is.
It's fear porn to be able to do a whole bunch of excuse we got because the economy took a dump and they were camouflaging it with this, in my opinion. So I go, they say,
well, they caused the economy to take a dump. You know, Trump was doing just fine. They literally caused this. I just texted to Donna. And I'll make sure the text went through. I just texted Donna a group of a post that Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I worked on this weekend about what we should be investigating, which is basically them, and all of the diseases we've been talking about, vaccine caused diseases, you know, and along with that text, I sent her a, I sent her, you know, the, a job ad that, that the CD, the Centers for Disease Control, put up, and I'm gonna read it. So on November 15th of 2019, the CDC announced a job announcement for a public health advisor in the quarantine program for literally, you know, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, Seattle, Washington, Anchorage, Alaska, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, California, Miami, Atlanta, Honolulu, Hawaii, Chicago.
And when did
Illinois,
they do that?
Boston, Massachusetts, you know, on and on. New York, Philadelphia, San Juan, Puerto Rico. So they're looking for quarantine programs and public health advisors.
And when did they
and
put
the
that out?
Salary ranges $50,000 and $90,000 a year, and the open period was November 15th, not 2019, until May of this year. And I just sent that to text that post.
Okay, when did they put that ad out, Dr. Judy? When did they do
that ad out on November 15th of 2019? Before the so-called first case was even identified in China. So, oh, you're planning a little outbreak, are you? You're planning a little. So it's not that the virus, the coronavirus didn't exist. It's, you know, where did it come from, and who perpetrated this nightmare on the world's people, and why?
Okay, tell me about what, you know, you talk about there's different factors that go into this. And on the plane ride out here, I went ahead and down, because Dr. Frank is always going on about it. I downloaded Plague Inc., you know, the, you know, you're the virus and you want to, like, you know, take over and kill everybody. And there's different factors. You know, you want to have this factor and that factor and that factor and that factor. You want to increase this thing and make sure it does that and resistant to this and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like this is being touted as it being a dialed in, got all the right goodies virus of we're going to get you, you know. And I'm wondering, is this natural? Did it happen? Is it because you worked on, you were a scientist that, you know, discovered a bunch of stuff about HIV. And HIV, was that engineered?
No, and I wouldn't call this virus engineered. What this virus really points out is what our discoveries in 2009, and I'll send more, but, you know, Zika in 2014, Ebola Ebola in 2014, Zika in 2019, what all of this points out is what scientists, not only me, but virologists around the world have been saying, and that's all the posts I just sent you, is you the risk of doing what we call gain of function or you know, basically mixing animal and human tissues together. That's the risk of doing that. And that's what our new book coming out, you know, talks about. It highlights the enormous risk of using animal tissue in research and mixing it with human tissue for the development of medical therapies, you know, and that's what's happened. That's what happened in XMRV. You know, this is nowhere near the number of people or the magnitude. A coronavirus is not a retrovirus. You know, your immune system should clear this with good glutathione and a healthy immune system. You'll get a cough for a little while.
Okay, no, we're going into break. I don't want to use all your goody here. When we come back, we'll get, you know, how it works, what the real threat of it is. And Dr. Judy's going to explain it to us when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. No fear!
from the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Now, Dr. Judy is going to give us a nit and tittle on a little bit and how it works and where and what and all the answers to my questions and stuff. But, you know, Derek wanted to say something about this Amazon shutting down thing. What up?
Yeah, I'm just stewing about... Nope, we're off. I'm just stewing about this Amazon thing, that they shut down all the deliveries except for medical supplies and household staples. And this is going to be just a great example of central planning failing to determine what my household staples are, right? If I've got a problem in my house, the rail fell off my steps and my old grandmother that lives in the basement can't get up the steps anymore and I need some screws. If my boiler's broken and I need to get a welding rod to fix that. I mean, who are they to say what I'm expecting, and they're not going to deliver it all of a sudden because it's not a household staple. This is just
define that.
Yeah,
you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. Okay, all right, Dr. Judy, go ahead and tell me how this disease works. How long it this that? I mean, just give me the scientific. You know, it's different from something else because, and I should be scared because why? What? Go.
Well, you should never be scared of this, Ernie, because you have a God-given immune system. This is literally the next version of SARS, which means severe acute respiratory syndrome. So these coronaviruses come from, you know, bats originally, and they get into your nasopharyngeal, into your nose and throat, you know, through literally spread through coughing and sneezing and things like that. Normally, they come from bats by way of another small mammal, other animals, theoretically in live markets where people forget how to cook their food after doing it for millions of years. You know how it goes. But actually, the more prominent spread is what we call nosocomial spread, which means spread via laboratories and hospitals. So it's pretty clear that this virus, you know, came by way of the Chinese biosafety level 4 facility that was a short distance from this seafood market where the governments blamed it from arising, probably in the water, probably everywhere else. And then there's a lot of evidence that it also came from Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland, and there, their biosafety level 4 facility. There's no way you come from one person on the first or right around the 1st of December, what they call the first case, and spread to 110 countries in a matter of a month. You know, this is just stupid. The Centers for Disease Control tests are reagents were all contaminated with the, you know, they had no negative control essentially. So they were contaminated. So we're getting false positives, false negatives. Nobody should get testing. Nobody should go near a hospital, you know, shutting down. The chance that any of us are infected is nuts. You don't double an infection that takes 5 to 7 days of latency. That means if you get a particle in your nose, you're not inhaling tens and thousands of copies of these viruses. So if you get a particle in your nose and by chance you're immune compromised, because we have a sound immune system to deal with this, that is we know these viruses and the pathways they stimulate and how our immune system fights there and who's most susceptible. So a little vitamin C literally from a lemon, don't infuse it or ingest it. You don't need all these pills. You don't need all of this stuff. We have a great immune system, and this would normally take about 5 to 7 days of latency. That means you don't notice any symptoms of it, and then you basically start coughing. Well, there are a lot of other reasons you cough: cigarette smoke, oxidative stress of essentially any kind. So you mentioned an oxygen concentrator, which is wonderful for people who have compromised immune systems. My husband David has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, from another kind of pneumonia, upper respiratory infection that he had in his 30s or 40s. And what happens is you get what's called fibrosis of your lungs, and it's driven by an inflammatory process and TGF-beta, transforming growth factor beta. This is a kind of master regulator switch on the hematopoietic stem cell. That's your immune system from the blood. And this was Frank Rossetti's expertise, and basically discovered it. Well, this virus sends the flame into overdrive, and it's basically all you really need is a good dimmer switch, because it's your own immune system that goes on too strong and doesn't get turned off. So you do damage to your own tissue in the immune compromise. If you're healthy, you're going to have a cough for, you know, God only knows how long, 5 to 7 days. Most, you know, the data suggests that children are basically non-symptomatic, and their immune system handles it just fine. Children, teenagers develop an immune response. So what should be doing right now is we should be testing, like we've tested in every other, viral outbreak, is for antibodies. You test for exposure by antibodies. Have you been exposed, and have you developed an immune response to the virus? You don't test for a sequence when by PCR that's fraught with contamination. And these are all the things that, they accused us of in the XMRV studies, where 25 million Americans were confirmed in, over a 2 year or 3 year period to be infected by a retrovirus, which causes leukemia in mice, cancer in mice, and everything else. This is what we've been talking about the last 5 years. So the plague of corruption is this same government made a cancer-causing virus that was confirmed over dozens of studies, antibody tests, PCR, protein confirmation, just like we did in HIV. You confirm these tests with another method to show the proteins there. You sequence what you're getting. You don't just run a PCR and say, oh, you're positive. And oh, by the way, the CDC admitted their test was contaminated. So they slowed down the diagnosis And then they called a bunch of people positive, and they confirmed a bunch of deaths by chest X-ray. You don't look for a virus by chest X-ray. My husband and I were in Hawaii last weekend. That same husband with COPD, 81 years old, who everybody would say, oh, don't travel, don't get on a plane. You know, there's no problem. You know, it's not a hoax that this virus exists and this virus can be deadly, but this virus has not caused the deaths. I have not seen any evidence of a single death. Show me the autopsy where the lungs are overrun by coronavirus. Show me the isolation. Show me the electron microscopy of this virus, what we did for viruses, for HIV, for XMRV, for HTLV1, human T-cell leukemia virus, originally now called lymphoma virus, which causes all kinds of things. Show me the kind of work that we did.
Well, she's going to show us. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, yeah. And those that just won't leave them alone.
Yeah.
Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back. Dr. Judy Mikovits. Yeah, you're going out. Hello.
Sorry.
Okay. This is what we're going to
talk.
What I wanted to do is for you to go ahead and explain to us the actual, you say, show me the lungs. There you go. Give me an autopsy. Yeah. Slice that bad boy up and let's take a look. I mean, right. We need to know this world freaking melting down. You'd think you'd want to do that. You know, let's do that. Well, you should do that. Let's do that. They haven't done it. Why haven't they done it? What would you see? What would you look for? What would you know?
Oh, you look for the virus. The lungs, you should be able to show on electron microscope a virus particle. Not a piece of RNA nucleic acid. You should be able to show a virus particle. You should be able to show lungs that are bleeding out with holes poked in them. You know, that we know the receptors. We know what happened with SARS. This is SARS too. And it was manipulated until it infected human cells really, really, really well over the last two decades. This never should have happened. As you mentioned, it was planned. So you would literally do an autopsy and show the lungs. You can't get fibrotic lungs overnight with 50% fibrosis from inhaling a particle or two in your nose. That's not how viruses work. You're the lungs of people that died from coronavirus should be totally fibrotic and have, you know, virus literally, that you can see on an electron micrograph. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of causes of upper respiratory infections. You know, my husband's COPD was caused, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is when there's fibrosis. That means fibroblasts overgrow the alveolar macrophages, the cells that breathe in your lungs. And so you don't get fibrosis overnight from a couple of particles of virus in your nose. That's not how it works. You know, the 6 or 7 days that the virus is incubating in your nasal and passages and in your lungs, your immune system is responding to that. And that, you know, literally it turns up the flames, you know, the NF kappa B pathways. I sent you a slideshow of exactly what it looks like. You know, we've done this research since the first SARS outbreak in 2001. And, you know, I always talk about the royal we doing this research, and we virologists and we, even the government said, you know, teaching these viruses to infect human cells readily. They don't infect human cells. They don't have the receptor. You don't just jump from a bat to a human. You have to go through intermediate species, small mammals. Oh, what did they adapt this virus to more than 5 years ago? Oh, a mouse model. Okay, so we infected mice with it. Oh, how, you know, that'll work out, won't it? And scientists were warning around the world of the risks of these, quote, gain of function studies, where you teach them how to do something that would not happen in nature. This is what happened with this virus, and everybody knows it. So we taught it to infect human cells in a laboratory. It's no different than what I did in 1999 with Ebola. at Fort Detrick in the biosafety level 4. You know, there's one in Wuhan, China. There's one in Fort Detrick. And the NIH, Tony Fauci himself, the NIAID, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, funded these studies so that you've got investigators sending reagents and samples all over the world. There's only one way 70 countries get infected overnight. I would still dispute, you know, that anyone, the numbers they're talking about are dying from these things. And more importantly, they're reporting, oh, only 2% of the people die, and it's your people like my husband David who they're telling to stay home. He's not, by the way. He's hanging with me, and we drink lemons, water, and we're having fun. At any rate, we went to Hawaii having a good time. So he's just fine. We just have to keep him away from the government who will kill him. At any rate, they don't want you living on your Social Security. But, you know, you would show me these people died of that virus. You know, you can get in Wuhan, China. They have air pollution worse than anywhere. Everybody smoked cigarettes, you know. And by the way, they installed the city with I don't even know how many 5G towers. Well, applying that kind of energy will cause viruses and all kinds of things to jump species. But it didn't happen the way the government said it happened. And oh, by the way, Fort Detrick, the biosafety level 4 at USAMRID, which is U.S. Army Research in Infectious Diseases Institute, USAMRID, USAMRIID. That's the biosafety level 4. It's a military institution sitting right across the street from the National Cancer Institute. And I can say this with great confidence because I published a paper in 1999 with my colleagues in the National Cancer Institute as we taught the Ebola Zaire to infect human cells. So in 2014, it is that virus that came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, that infected and killed 21,000 Liberians. So it's not a hoax. A deadly virus was absolutely released, not near as deadly. Coronavirus is SARS. They cause acute respiratory syndromes. That's what they're called. There's one called Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and then this one they're calling COVID-19 for Coronavirus 2019 Infectious Disease. But hey, if you're not coughing, you don't have any problem. Your immune system will clear it, so you don't keep the survivors, if you will, at home. You develop a natural herd immunity, and you test for exposure by an antibody test, not a sequence.
Okay, two things. I got two questions before we hit the break. One, all right, is the United Kingdom is doing, yep, we're just going to let it go and we'll see and we'll have natural herd immunity and everybody get over it. Then you have, right, when you say things about training it, we trained it to infect humans. What does that mean?
We passage it through mice, through cell lines. You know, our friend in the Pediarix vaccine, Vero monkey kidney cells. So we culture it in the lab. We take the virus and we grow it in a cell line that does not have type 1 interferon immunity. That's the very same cell line that we grow our polio vaccine. So the very carrier of coronaviruses, polio viruses, you name it, retroviruses, HIV, SIV, is in half of our vaccines. It's called Vero monkey kidney cells. So we teach it to infect other cells, and so the intermediate host in this case was the monkey cells that we use in the laboratory. And I can show you the paper, which I did, which we've done, and I sent Bobby Kennedy's post from a couple of days ago. There's a paper funded by Tony Fauci, by the NIAID, over the last 10 years, two decades, since 2001. In 2013, Francis Collins, the head of the NIH, put a, you know, literally outlawed a federal law saying that you cannot do these types of studies because they're too risky that you might release a very pathogenic strain of virus that infects people very easily and spreads very quickly and you can't control it. That was 2013. No, you can't anywhere in the world by law do these studies. And yet we've got publications from 14, 15 where Tony Fauci is funding these studies, against federal law. And then in 2017, Collins oh so quietly, lifted the ban of doing gain of function studies with deadly viruses.
More with Dr. Judy when we come back. I still want to know about the UK thing. All right, here, she's going to tell me also about this. I want to hold this up. You see this? That's a zinc tablet. I've been gnawing on it a little bit, just to coat my throat. This has been since yesterday. One tablet since yesterday. Just gnaw, just keep it coated. It's been helping me for years. We'll talk about it right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
All right, we're back with Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I wanted to, get right to the one question that I had, is there is a United Kingdom has said, we're just going to let it go and, stay calm and carry on kind of thing. So tell me, what they're talking about and what's going to happen and what can we learn from it?
Well, the UK is actually doing absolutely the right thing. So people who have been exposed and who are asymptomatic and or survive have developed an immunity to it and actually would develop a natural herd immunity. So keeping people away, certainly you don't expose the immune compromised like my husband, but there's essentially no risk of exposure. And we haven't been near China lately, and we haven't eaten half-cooked bats lately.
Yeah. And I think you need to turn your video on, Dr. Judy.
Say it again.
Is your video on?
Let me see if I can get my video to go on. Yeah, I'm waiting to go in a car. So
okay.
Here we go.
There you go.
So
right.
There's essentially no risk of exposure for most people, just hand washing and even exposure would develop immunity in most people to this family of virus. They're not retroviruses. At least we know there are some sequences of HIV in some of these sequences, which again confirm it came out of a laboratory. But essentially, I'm in a hotel, as you can see right now, and getting ready to go to a meeting. But essentially, no one is at risk in crashing the market. So the UK is doing exactly the right thing because the exposures will develop immunity and you'll get what we call a natural herd immunity, a real herd immunity, because you'll develop antibodies and things like that.
Okay, well, Bill Prethelo Gates is going to come up with some kind of vaccine, next year or something. And
you do not want a vaccine of any kind. Nothing. You don't spin your immune system out of control.
But they were saying that there was a problem with when they did SARS and so on, and they
do vaccines
and so on. That's what they have.
It's all right, Frank. It's all right. Thanks, Sandy.
They do the vaccines, and you get reinfected with it after doing the vaccine, it caused some other cascade effect or something.
Oh, you definitely don't want any vaccine to anything. You don't want a flu vaccine. Those are different kinds of RNA viruses, and you will you'll turn your immune system on to fight something that is not your issue, and you'll turn the flame up too high and do damage to yourself. So no vaccines, never. And this is the shining armor in all of this is that, it'll hopefully end the vaccine program, as you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth and it'd be right. So, this will end everything. Natural immunity is what you want, and people will realize it. So staying home like the UK is doing.
Well, the United Kingdom is going to be a test bed for this. Well, this may be the test bed for, you know, not doing this kind of stuff that we have. The United Kingdom is going to be like, we got an example of we made it just fine. We're better and we didn't compromise in the future of and we rule the world now. Did we lose you? Yeah, she's in a parking garage, so we're probably going to lose her. This has been a really good show. You know, I mean, are you able to listen to a lot of this, Derek? Or you've
I hear it, yeah.
You know, it's are you feeling better? You know, you think there might be, you know, it's not that bad?
I've been feeling great. I really am not worried about this at all. Maybe it's just, you know, irrational optimism, but I'm not concerned about the coronavirus. I'm not concerned about getting stuff. I'm potentially concerned about you being able to get home.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we can handle that, too. I mean, just roll with the punches, right?
Okay, which button do I push?
What do you want to get to?
I want to get to the screen over here. I moved down here because we lost her. So we're just going to go ahead and you know, finish it off. Yeah, just go, whatever. I'll let you deal with it. The it's you need to push that button over there thing you did before.
Oh, you want to get it again.
Yeah, I want it on the big screen. The we're still learning.
Oh, you want this on the big
screen? Yeah, I just want to, you know, be able to see something. You know what we're doing? All right, we're good. The and that's what's streaming out, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we still got to learn. We got to label buttons and switches. You look at this. I thought we were going to try and trim it down from the main studio. I think it's worse. But we'll get it all cable managed and pretty and liquefied and stuff. And there, I'm looking forward to seeing how the studio furniture comes out so we can see where the stuff is going. But we looked at it, and they're saying they're suspending all new from warehouses. They got the stuff at Amazon. If they got it, they're shipping it. Yeah, they're telling all their vendors and so on not to send them, and they're not going to receive anything until they get caught up on, you know, doing medical and all that kind of crap. So they're just going to hold off on a bunch of stuff. But if it's already, if we already ordered it, it's in the pipeline, we might get it. We'll see, you know. But hopefully, and I tell you, we just made it by the skin of our teeth, you know, because this is you know, we had delays in ordering because of delays. But, you know, once we got it done and everything, hopefully everything is coming here. And I tell you, this bus, even if it, you know, if we go pimp out and all of a sudden everybody's like, ooh, that was good, Ernie. We need to get you, you know, a pop out, you know, super duper. And here's a bunch of money. Yeah, we'll just take everything out and put it in that because this is the upgraded, updated, up, most latest, greatest kind of man, everything. And what we're looking at, and you probably don't see it, I have a main screen here. It's not even the one we're using. We got one ordered. Then we have these small screens that I can move. That's what I, you know, Derek's helping me learn how to do. We get switchers and so on that I can pull the guest computer, you know, the monitor, the guest, audio, the video, the streaming, everything, and use one screen. And then Donna's going to have on the swing out that will be the main screen. That will be the TV, you know, in the bus when it's not used. It swings out up against the window, but that will be hers to use. And we have all these switches, and we're going to make it small, itty-bitty living space because it's important that when for me to be able to do the show and control my own, I have to have buttons here. I mean, you know, it's bad enough. Now I got to reach around over here and get. Okay. So we're getting it set up. When we go on the road with this, what's going to happen? We start in May, June. We're going around. It's going to be right in the middle of all this. By that time, we're going to know that there's problems or there's not, you know, and how are the people dealing with it? How did they deal with it? What happened? The documentary going into doing the vaccine education summit, like Dr. Judy is saying, she's going, this is not what they're saying. And the best thing you can do is just what UK did. They said, well, you know, stay calm and carry on, man. You know, just see what's up. And I'm glad that we have a first world country that is diverse. I mean, they got people from all over the world, different ethnicities and religion, all kinds of crap going on. So they're going to find out. They're going to go, yeah, we just did Brexit. Well, I tell you what Brexit does. We ain't doing all your European Union, all your crazy stuff, which kind of surprised me, really. And I'm wondering why. You know, it's kind of, you know, is it a credibility thing? I mean, you got the crown. I mean, you know, the queen says thou shalt, and I've been around a while. I've seen this before. I know what's up, and this is what you're going to do. You know, so I don't know. But at least we got a test bed of seeing how people actually deal with this. And I know that's, you want to, I mean, hell, I'd almost have to be the doctor or somebody I trust. When you have people die of this, they go, yep, you died of this. Oh, you got to pad that number. Oh, we got it. It's like body count in Vietnam. You know, it's just got to have a body count. You know, body count got more body count. And I'm going, oh, okay. They get body count. Well, how do they get body? Ah, we just made it up. And I go, I want to see. You know, cut open the lung, look what they die of. It was, a broken heart and they broke up with their girlfriend. What? You know, and you counted that? So I'm just, I don't believe them. And you know how I know not to believe them? Their lips are moving, you know? So I'm, but that doesn't mean that they didn't make it a thing. And they're going to amp it up. And if they need to do more, they're going to do more. And if they got to have dead bodies and flayed and aliens come down and whatever the hell they got to do, they'll do it. You know, so this, just like Dr. Judy was saying, Tony Fauci is the guy that you're seeing Trump going up and say, oh, Tony Fauci, Fauci, need Fauci. He gets up there and all the stuff of manufacturing this and making it to where it would go into the humans was with studies that were illegal in 13. He does it in 14, 15 to make this be able to be used. So is the virus real? Probably. How deadly? I don't know. But I don't believe him. I don't believe them. I don't believe because they're talking. I don't believe them. But what's the cure? Either way, real, natural, fake, generated, panic. Fear is the mind killer. What's the solution? You be ready. You do what Bob does. You just got to get, man, we're all good. You know? And I made this comment on the show, you know, early January, February. I'm going, look, I don't think I'm going to be able to get on the road fast enough. I want to get fast enough. What happens when I'm going, oh, I'm sorry, Ernie. You're not allowed to leave Phoenix. But I'm ready. I got everything. I'm all good. I can go be safe. No, not allowed. Oh.